this message, I believe, is going to be about assurance and showing us what God says, not man, but what God says he has done with my sins, okay? And I want to put that emphasis on that, what the Lord has done with our sins, what he says. Now, if he can't lie, the Bible says he cannot tell an untruth, okay? And he's from everlasting to everlasting. I have to let it sit right there. And when the devil throws things up to me, and the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses me before the throne day and night, okay? And sometimes I take these things to heart too much. And so I want to do what's right, but I finally have got something here for assurance that has been such a blessing to me. I really want to share it with you. So I just want to open up with a word of prayer, and let's just look these verses over that I have here. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you said, Lord, you've done with our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a merciful God, kind and tenderhearted, forgiving, willing to forgive. You forget our sins, all those things, Lord. You've done these things for us. Let me praise your name this evening. In Jesus' dear name I pray, Lord. Amen. Oddly enough, is this too loud? I got like an echo here in my ear. Huh? Yeah, is that good? No, I mean, I can hear myself real good, too, you know. I don't know, are you supposed to do that? All right, well, anyway. Okay. Here's what happened. I was over in Easton, and I stopped in at the Dunkin' Donuts at 13th Street, okay, I was going to get a coffee and a donut. By the way, all fat boys know where the Dunkin' Donuts are. Okay, we all know where they are. Okay, so I stopped in here at the Dunkin' Donut, and there's a guy sitting there. His name was Frank Ganguzzi, and I've known this guy for years. Okay, and he looks like one of those guys on the Duck Dynasty. He really does. He's got the beard and the hair and all this kind of stuff, you know. And he's sitting there, and so, but he has a Bible and he loves Jesus. He really does. But he's kind of unique, and he doesn't go to church. And he says, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to argue with him about that. But I just went in there, got my coffee. I sat down with him. And so he says to me, he says, you know, Fox, he says, you ought to read Isaiah chapter 40 through 49. He says, you ought to read that. I said, okay. You know, I was eating my donut and everything like that, listening to him. And then he said, was talking about all the really good things that were in Isaiah chapter 40 through chapter 49. And he said this to me like four or five times. And frankly, when I was there, it kind of went, you know, I didn't pay much attention to it. Okay. But when I got home, I really believe the Lord impressed that upon my heart that I need to read Isaiah chapter 40 through 49. And then so I sat down and I read the first verse. Boom. Okay. I was hitting the head like a sledgehammer. Okay. I want you to turn there with me to Isaiah 40. Verse 1. I never saw this before. All the years that I've been saved and hanging around Christians, I never heard this verse ever explained like this before. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people. First of all, this is all about comfort. The next the verses 1 and 2 here are all about comfort. God's trying to tell us here, he's going to comfort us. Listen to this. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people. That's all of us in here. All of us his people. Says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Tell me something. What does it mean that her warfare is ended? What does it mean that her warfare is ended? He's saying comfort. Comfort my people. Talk to me. This is a Sunday school class. Talk to me about this. What does it mean her warfare is ended? Peace. Yes, there's peace between
us and whoever we're warring against. In this case, it would be God.
Yes, but there's peace between now us and God. He's saying there's peace. Now there's peace. Our warfare is ended. Okay? Why is it ended? He's trying to show us some comfort here. Just look at this. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I almost fell over when I saw that, okay? I never saw before that I have received double blessing, a double comfort, a double pardon for all my sins. And I said, imagine that. I got a double portion, just like Elisha got a double portion of Elijah's mantle, okay? I got a double portion of God's forgiveness. I said, I never saw that before. That means if there's anything, I know it's nuts, that Jesus missed, you know, when he forgave me, if there's any kind of like sin hanging out there that he missed, which I know is not going to happen, okay? I got it covered anyway. I got a double covering. Okay, I got it made. All right, and I'm just in cornbread. You know, that's how I think. And so I was home with this, and I said, "This is fantastic." And then so I was thinking about this Ganguzi guy. Then I really did. I read all of Isaiah 40 through 49. I read it a couple times because he asked me to do it. And to make a long story short, I'll just inject this in here. I went back to him. I really did. I went back to him at the donut. And I told him what I did. I said, Frank, I said, you blessed my heart so much. Okay, I went and I read these verses. And I showed him that double pardoning. And he never saw that either. He actually never picked it up. And he was just reading it, you know. And then it made me feel so good that he could bless me, that I could go back and bless him. But most of all, how Jesus forgave me and gave me a double pardon for all of my sins. Imagine that. Okay, imagine that. I got a double pardon. So then I said to myself, I got to put this together. I got to make sure that other people know about this. So then that's why I came up with this thing. I want to go over this with you. And we'll start now at the top. Philippians 2:9. The Bible says, I'm not going to have you turn there on this one. It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now that's the name of who? The name of Jesus. That's the prelude in that verse that says that Jesus has a name which is above every name, and that every knee shall bow. Okay? And I've said this before here. Or touch your knee. Just right now, touch your knee. Okay? And every tongue. Seriously? Every tongue's going to confess? All those guys you see on TV, the mock the Lord. Okay? All these guys, wherever they are, whatever people want to do, they want to mock the Lord. The Bible says every knee. It shall bow. Everyone, there's not going to be an exception. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Okay? But the thing I want you to zero in on here is that the Bible says that Jesus has a name which is above every name. Okay? There is no name higher than Jesus. There's no such thing as that. That's why the devil uses that name whenever you hit yourself with a hammer. People swear. Okay, you hit yourself with a hammer, you hit your thumb. People swear they take the Lord's name in vain. Nobody ever hits their hammer and yells, "Oh, Buddha." Okay, that doesn't happen. All right, nobody ever hits their hand and yells, "Oh, Confucius." You know, no. They take the Lord Jesus. They take that high name, that name which is above every name. Okay, and they take that and they take that name in vain. They blaspheme that name. Okay, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So, with that said. Look at the next verse on there. Psalm 138, 2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. Now look. The name of Jesus, there is no other name higher than that. Okay? I want you to imagine for a moment that Jesus' name is right here. Okay? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Where is God's word? With respect to Jesus' name. It's above. The Word of God. The Word of God. Honestly, you think about this. The Word of God is above even the name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven that's higher than the name of Jesus. Okay? But he says he magnifies his Word above his name. Okay? So with that backdrop in mind, okay, this is how we're going to approach this. That when God says these things, these 10 things here, about what he's done with my sins, okay, what he's done with your sins, that our sins, he has dealt away with them, and he puts it in such a context that his word is above his name, this is an absolute. That's how I got a hold of this. I this is an absolute fact. This is absolute. We cannot even discuss the variables on something like this. These things are absolutes. As just as good as the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, That's an absolute. That actually happened. There's another absolute. It says it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. That's an absolute. Okay, I don't care what these Hollywood stars and all these football Johnnies and all that kind of stuff do. Okay, one day they're all going to stand before the Lord and they're going to give an account of themselves. It's appointed unto man once to die. It's an absolute. Okay, this is an absolute. He has forgiven us of our sins. We're going to go through these one at a time right now. So Psalm 103, 12, Pastor Tom was talking about this last week. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Now, is there anybody in here who has a wild imagination about how far the east is from the west? Anybody have an idea that you could give me how far you think the east is from the west?
Trillions,
yes. I told you. All right. It's trillions. Okay. All right. Talk to me. Give me an answer. Somebody in here. How far is the east is from the west?
Infinity.
Yes. Well, that's true. Okay. But I need something practical. You can grab your hand onto. How far the east is from the west? Okay. Now we look at a globe, and the Earth is like 25,000 miles around, or something like that. And then you can go from east, like over there in London, to maybe like Japan. Maybe that would be as far as the east. Maybe you start coming back. You would think like that. It might be that far, but you never can find the east or the west. All right, on that kind of deal. You can find the north or the south. But I was telling Ellen Burnett the other night, I was sitting out on the deck, on the back of our house. And honestly, here's what I did. The stars were out. And I could look, I stood there. And I looked to the east, over this way, okay? And I could see stars as far as my human eyes could see. Those stars, okay? Then I could turn my sinful neck, okay? I could turn my neck, okay? And I could look to the west. And I could see stars out there as far as the east is from the west, okay? The Bible says God has removed my sins from me, okay? And I stood there thinking about this message, all right, and how far my sins have been removed from me. I looked at that, and I said, with my own eyes, I can actually see trillions and trillions of miles, light years away, these stars are. Okay, then I could turn and I could look to the west. And I said, as far as the east is from the west, Tom Fox's sins are removed from me. And I just stood there. I could just praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord, because it's so true, because His Word is above His name. His Word is above His name. It's so true that my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Okay? They've been removed from me. What a fantastic blessing. Let's look at the next one. Okay? Psalm 84, verse 2. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. Okay. Anybody have an illustration or an idea that or how our sins are forgiven or how they might be covered? Come on. An idea. Just an idea of how that your sins might be covered. Okay. Just something that covers them. But yes, the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ covers them. But I'm thinking like a practical thing, like here on the earth, like something that we would have covered, okay? Well, a tablecloth over a table, yes, okay. I'm actually thinking of a mine, of an old coal mine, okay? That the old coal mine, they had equipment in the old coal mines, but when the old coal mines got dangerous, so the kids wouldn't play in them, they'd actually blow them up, okay? And then all that stuff on the inside of those coal mines, like those old railroad tracks where they would take the coal in and out, some of the machinery, some of the beams that went up to hold the coal, the thing up, all those things were inside there. They would blow those up, and they're all covered forever, okay? Nobody can ever get near those old coal mine, those things on the inside of the coal mine. I was trying to put practical things to that. That's like my sin. I can't even get to my sin. If I want to get to my sin, it's impossible. They're covered. They're actually covered over. Just like the explosion would bring down the rest of the mine down on top of a coal mine. All those things, they're all covered. And so for me, it's a practical thing. I can just see that I can never get to my sins, even if I want to. Okay? The Lord took them, He removed them, and now He's covered them. Isaiah 38 17. I'm not going to do it anymore. Pastor Tom did a perfect one on that one. You've cast all my sins behind your back. And I said to Carol, I said, when I got home, I said, I never washed my back either. I never did, But Carol said she has some like hooker scraper thing with a washcloth on it that she could. but we never know what's behind our back. It's all put behind us. Okay, we don't know what's there. Okay, because our sins, the Bible says, the Lord has cast them behind his back. Okay, they're separated from us, and they're so far removed. The Lord has taken those sins and he's removed them as far as the east and from the west. He's covered them. And now they're actually behind his back. And then you don't know what's going on behind your back. Okay, Isaiah 40, verse 2. We went over this one already. That was the first one we did. We went over this one. Okay, here's a super good one. This is what Jesus has done for us. Revelation 1, 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Okay? If Jesus, seriously, washed me from my sins in his own blood, what right do I have to question whether I still am unforgiven yet? Whether I'm unforgiven or forgiven. Okay? If the Lord himself did this, and he washed my sins in his own blood. There's another verse in Acts 20:28 says I'm purchased. I was a purchased property. Turn with me there. Okay, Acts 20:28. Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed according to yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So he's purchased the church of God with his own blood. And here, this verse says that he washed us in his own blood, which he purchased us with. And our sins have been washed away because of the blood of Jesus, that he purchased us, and then he took his blood and he washed our sins away. So I have no more concerns based on this verse that I have any sin left, that the Lord has forgiven me all my sin. And the Bible says he forgave me all my sin, my past sin, my present sin, and frankly all my future sin. But the difference between me and just a regular guy who's unsaved is that I don't want to sin. If I'm really walking with the Lord right, I don't want to sin. I have no interest in sinning. I don't want to go to the places that will cause me to sin. I don't want to hang around the people that will cause me to sin. I'm even ashamed if I even have to go in some of those places. That it's wrong for me even to attend some of these places. There's certain... I don't mind going like a TGI Fridays. They have a bar in there. I'll go there for a hamburger, that kind of thing. I don't mind that. But there's some seedy places in Easton that have these bar rooms, and they even need alarm systems anyway. So I'll go, we'll talk to them and that kind of stuff. But I don't really want to even see somebody meet. I'm afraid somebody would see me there and then think I'm there for the wrong reason. I figure if you guys know that I went to Fridays, well, all right, that kind of thing. But if you saw me at a seedy tavern, that would be too good. So I try to even not go there because the Bible says that I should abstain from even the appearance of evil. So I think it's important for us to walk in obedience to the Lord and just try to stay away from the things that even look bad, even though they may not even be bad. Okay, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's my favorite verse. Even I've told Carol that when I die, and they have she's alive yet, I hope, and then have the casket, that's a verse I want printed out. I want to take my Bible and open it up and have like one of those arrow things. I even told my secretary, Joy, make this arrow thing. It points right to there. Okay, so as the people come by to say goodbye to Tom, they'll see that verse, because that's my life verse. If I confess my sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just. The reason he's just is because he's God. He's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins. There my sins are forgiven, and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And of course, he's cleansed by the previous verse that we just went over, because my sins were washed in his blood. That's what cleansed me from my sins. So it's just so precious. Now here, I want you to turn with me to Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Micah is the little book in the Old Testament. Right before, I think it's before Nahum. Habakkuk. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I want you to... Micah is such an important book. I'm just going to deviate from this for a minute. Remember when the three wise men were coming to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, to see, to present the gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus? They came into the king's palace, and they said to the king, who was Herod at that time, they said, "We are coming to see him who's to be the new king." Okay? And then we have presents for him. And then they said to these guys, "We're following the star." And so they said to the men in the king's court, they said, "Where is the king going to be born?" This is the verse that they went to. It was chapter Micah 5:2. I'm just going to jump you right here. We're going to go over this. I'm going to read this about something else that has nothing to do with this message, but I just want to show you something that's in here. Okay. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from what? Everlasting." Okay? That means that Jesus is eternal. Okay? Jesus is eternal. I met with a Mormon family last week. I put an alarm system in their home, and the guy was telling me that Jesus was created. I actually went to this Bible verse right here, and I tried to say this to him, but he didn't want to accept it. But that Jesus, this is where the Bible teaches that Jesus is from everlasting. He never had a beginning. That's where a major anchor verse here. There's two or three, there's a lot of good things in the book of Micah in the Old Testament, but this is one of them, that Jesus, the Bible teaches, was from everlasting. So those guys in the king's court told Herod that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, because they knew this verse. That's why those guys actually went to Bethlehem, and that's why they actually found Jesus in addition to the star, and then they presented him with those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and God's very practical. That's why if so many things are so practical, then Jesus was then taken immediately after that by Mary and Joseph down to Egypt. They went on a long trip. Okay, guess what? They were poor. They didn't have any money. But now they had those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so they were able to travel with all the money that they had. God provided them with the provisions to protect the Lord Jesus, because he knew what Herod was going to do. So then Herod came into town, and of course he slaughtered all the children, all the little boys that were 2 years and old and under. You know, that was atrocious, you know, that somebody would do that. But anyway, it's because of this Bible verse here in the book of Micah. So with that said, I want you to go over to Micah chapter 7, to the end of the chapter here. Verse 18, Micah 7:18. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage?" What does it mean to pass over the transgression? I need an answer for this. What does it mean to pass over the transgression? You're forgiven. Yes, okay, that's true. But there's another big deal with the word Passover in it. What is it?
The Passover.
Yes. Exactly.
God's wrath passed over.
That's it. God's wrath passed over the people who had the blood on the doorpost and on the lentils, okay? That was the Passover, okay? It's the same exact thing here, okay? Just take a look at this verse here. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. That's us. Okay? He passed over. Just like we got to pass over. Just like the Jews got to pass over in Egypt. Okay? We got to pass over. He has passed over our transgressions. He has forgiven us of our sins, of our iniquities. He's passed over. These. And guess what? That's for you. That's for me, because that's what God says that he has done with your sins, with your transgressions. He's passed over your sins, just like he passed over the Jews in the land of Egypt when they were there 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Staggering. But that's actually happened to you. He passed over your sins. He forgave you your sins because he set his affection and his love on you. And candidly, you meet somebody tomorrow that's not saved, the only difference between you and that other guy, God passed over your sins. And the truth is, he didn't pass over theirs. He's held them accountable. He is holding them accountable. You, he has forgiven. You, he has shown mercy. Look at this in verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of a remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He has cast, this is the verse where I was going with this. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Just like what Pastor Tom said last week. Some of those things are like 40,000-50,000 feet deep in the depths of the sea. In other words, you can't even find them. Just like in the coal mine. You can't even find those things. They're gone. They're gone forever. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. He swore to give them truth. He swore to give them mercy. He passed over our sins just like he passed over the sins of the Jews when they were in the land of Egypt, and it was signified by the blood of, the Lamb on the doorpost and on the lentils. Staggering. Staggering. And the Bible says Jesus has done these things for you. So when I started putting all these things together, truthfully, I said to myself, I have to have assurance. I have to have assurance because God said these things were done, frankly, for me. And they're done for Steve Trosham, and they're done for Milt, and they're done for Mike, and they're done for Gary. They're done for every one of us in this building. Our sins have been put away. They're covered by the precious blood of the Lamb. But this series of these type verses where God has set his word above his name brought such an impact to me that I can look at these now, no matter what happens in my life, okay, my sins are forgiven. And this little thing like this had just given me assurance where I had trouble struggling with assurance. I'm up one day, down the next, and that kind of thing. This has given me more of like a leveling out type thing. That's really what I'm saying. 7 o'clock, clocks ran out. We got a few more to go. You got them there with you. Now look, here's what I did. Let me show you how much I like this series, this thing. I took these and I shrunk them down on our computer at the office, okay? And I pasted it here on the inside of my Bible, okay? That whenever I have struggles, I can actually go to my Bible and I got to put on my glasses, small print, but I can see them. And they're all right there, these verses. They're actually all copied and put right here. If you want one, the real small edition, you know, I've got them right here. Just come up and see me afterwards in the back, and I'll give you one, okay? But I have a bunch of them made up if you want them. I like little notes in my Bible. I have little notes up in the front of my Bible that tell me that I'm going to be with the Lord. I've got a whole bunch of them right here. All the references that says with the Lord. I've got a whole bunch of references there that tell me if I have a question or wondering about being with the Lord or something like that. I've got about 20 of them here. okay, to tell me that I'm going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, that kind of stuff. You know, those type of verses. And so they're just an encouragement to me. And I know that I forget this stuff. So I printed these out for you guys. If you want one on your way out in the back, you know, take one. If you're going to put it in your Bible, my Carol has Elmer's glue, you know. And then that's how I put it in there. You know, I just, truthfully, I made them up today, yesterday, and then this afternoon I was blowing it up. You know, I stuck it in there, you know. But I got it then all the time, you know. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you have given to us, that the name of Jesus has a name which is above every name. But Lord, you said in your word, in Psalm 138, that your word is above your name. What a staggering thing. And Lord, we looked at your word there in a number of cases where your word tells us that you have forgiven us of our sins, you've forgotten about our sins, you've taken our sins, cast them behind your back, you've buried our sins in the deepest sea, you've given us a double pardon for our sins. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Help us to live in obedience unto you, and strive to please you, and walk in hunger and thirst after righteousness all the rest of the days of our lives, that we might do what is right. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.